I'm Pastor Myron Daum. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening. Take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Although today is traditionally Palm Sunday, we are still in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22. When Jesus finished praying here at the Mount of Olives, the base there in the garden, He fully submitted to His Father's will, and there was no turning back. The circumstances were just as bleak as they had been before He prayed, but now that He submitted Himself to His Father's will, instead of being overwhelmed to the point of crying and sweating profusely, our Lord now has peace. The cross lay before Him. He would be our sacrifice. He was prepared to become our Savior. We can take great encouragement from this, for we often face overwhelming circumstances. And Jesus models to us that submission to the Father's will can make all the difference in our lives. It can bring us peace in spite of the pain, the difficulty, or the disaster. As followers of Jesus, this supernatural peace can be ours because of this next step we find in our passage today. Our next step is this: I must know that Jesus is in control. Will you say this with me? Know that Jesus is in control. If He's in control, even at this devastating hour in His life, then He's in control of what I'm facing too. Grasp this reality. Grasp it and never let it go. No matter how dreadful or fearful or overwhelming my circumstances might be, Jesus is still in control. He is not up there in glory, wringing His hands in anxiety, wondering what drama is going to unfold next in our little lives. That's not how it works. Our Jesus is in control, and nothing enters our lives without first being filtered through His gracious and strong and sovereign fingers. He is in control. It might look like everything's out of control in your life. Remember this, say it with me. Jesus is in control. Let's consider why we can believe this. We have good reason to. Watch how He responds in spite of betrayal, violence, and being arrested. These dark developments are like a black cloth upon which the sparkling jewels of the glory of His control shine even brighter. Pick this up with me now in verse 47, Luke 22. While He was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss Him. This word translated to kiss can also be translated to love, which serves to underscore the mockery and the horror of betrayal. This was a devilish kiss, a kiss from hell, and it landed squarely on the cheek of our Savior. Yet in spite of this betrayal, He is filled with mercy. Say it with me. He is filled with mercy. Jesus is in control. He does not wipe off that dirty kiss. He instead extends mercy to Judas. Judas was acting as Satan's agent at this precise moment. But he was still a lost soul. And Jesus always cares about lost people, no matter how foul they may act. He was caring for Judas, even as Judas betrayed him. The question Jesus poses to Judas reveals his foreknowledge and also an appeal for repentance. Verse 48, Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Can you hear the question in Jesus' voice? Are you so beyond feeling? Are you so twisted in your reasoning that you chose a kiss as your sign? Have you no understanding, Judas? No memory? No recollection of the love that I have extended to you and modeled to you and taught you to show to others? Judas, my brother, turn back. Our Jesus is in control, extending mercy in the face of a betrayer's kiss. Seeing the armed crowd surrounding Judas's kiss, the disciples who had earlier misperceived Jesus' warning of future hostility to come quickly realized, we've got two swords among us to take on this crowd. And as we would well assume, one of those swords is squarely affixed in Peter's palm. Verse 49. And when the followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" It's likely Peter's voice ringing out with that inquiry. And before Jesus can answer, Peter's arm is already arcing into a misplaced blow. Verse 50, and one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. May I remind you, he was not aiming for the ear. He was trying to take this man's head off. Picture this. Don't sanitize it in your mind. Peter is trying to behead the closest guy to him. Peter's impulsive strike would play perfectly into the hands of the temple mob. Such violence on his followers' part would allow the authorities to claim that they had received an anonymous tip that Jesus and his armed followers were preparing for an insurgency. And when challenged, Jesus' gang attacked us. Way to go, Peter. Peter's impulsivity was natural. The all too common reaction of human nature unprepared by prayer. Peter would not have struck out in violence and made a bloody mess if he had simply listened to his master's words earlier in verse 40, where Jesus said, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Just like Peter, our human nature, unprepared by prayer, always results in a mess. Yet in spite of this violence, from Peter's sword swinging wildly, Jesus is yet in control. We see this because he is filled with, say it with me, compassion. This temple mob has them surrounded with flashing sword and flowing blood. The tension quickly escalates. A battle is about to explode, and our Lord is compassionately in control. His words freeze the scene. Verse 51, "No more of this." And he touches the man's ear and healed him. He reaches out to one of his enemies and heals him. This compassionate act underscores so clearly that Jesus has come to forgive and to heal the violence of sin in the lives of all he touches, in the lives of all who come to him in faith today. As the servant gingerly explores his newly healed ear, all eyes are riveted on Jesus. He has their undivided attention. Verse 52, then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come to him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come to me with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. This mob had come under the cloak of night to conceal their intentions. Acting like armed robbers, their conduct is an implicit admission that injustice is occurring right now. And Jesus defines it boldly. This is your hour when darkness reigns. Here he is being arrested, yet he is filled with, say it with me, determination. He is filled with determination, mercy, compassion, determination. It would appear that Satan has the upper hand. Jesus even affirms that in this hour, darkness reigns. Yet Jesus is still in control. Satan was only an instrument in God the Father's great plan of salvation. And Jesus knew this. And he was determined to fulfill his role to become our Savior. The demons were howling with delight when Jesus was arrested. They were sure they were winning. But in heaven, the angels were just getting warmed up to sing in forever worship over the Lamb of God who would die and rise from the dead to take away the sins of every single person who will believe in him. This hour when darkness reigned was just a necessary prelude to Jesus' eternal reign as my Savior and my Lord. So when we sing, Jesus, be my Savior, Jesus, be my Lord, that song can be answered with a yes. Yes, I can be your Savior. Yes, I can be your Lord. Realize afresh this morning, a Savior who triumphs in his darkest hour can deliver me from mine. Do not diminish his control in your life. When we face darkness, betrayal, violence, being arrested, being prevented from what we wanted to do, being hospitalized, being laid off, overcoming situations that overtake us, children, both young and adult, acting foolishly, wrecking our hopes for them. When all of these things happen, what are we tempted to do? We're tempted to become anxious. May I connect in your mind that your anxiety is like a kiss on our Savior's cheek. It's a betrayal of this truth that Jesus is in control. And right now, as I'm filled with anxiety over whatever I'm facing, I'm denying his control. I'm trying to wrest it from him and take it for myself that somehow I might be able to fix it. You know how this works. May I remind you this morning, don't kiss our Savior's cheek like that. Instead, in humility, cry out to him and profess this truth. Jesus, even though it's dark, even though it appears like darkness is reigning over the situation, you are, say it with me, in control. You are in control. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I don't even know how to react to it. But I confess, say it with me, you are in control. Dear ones, he triumphs over darkness. He did it in his own life. He'll do it in yours. Let's pray. I ask, Lord, that you would remind us of this truth this morning. We are all tempted to be anxious. We are all tempted to be violent in our attitude. We are so much like Peter. He was overcome with anxiety. He swung wildly at the problem before him, missing, forgetting, not realizing that you were in complete control. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us when our circumstances are spinning, when we are feeling overcome. Jesus, we are frail. We are vulnerable. We are weak. We call it what it is. And we ask you, Lord God, to be filled with mercy, filled with compassion, and be determined in our lives, Lord, to do what you know is best. Help us, Jesus. When darkness is reigning around us, it's hard to see you. We admit that. Would you cause us to believe by faith that you are in control no matter what we see? Help us by faith to believe that you are in control no matter what it looks like around us. Do this in us, Lord. Do this in us. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.